You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Rory Nelson, he is one of the premier guides in this, certainly in the metro area and beyond, but he works Lake Minnetonka and a lot of lakes around there quite a bit because he's got the feel for it, and he joins us on the Shift Real Estate Hotline. Rory, thank you for joining us.
How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a little warm out, but it's been good. It was a good spring. A lot of crappies, a lot of walleyes. Now the heat is kind of slowing some things down. It's making it a little harder to catch a few fish.
But can you catch anything in this?
What was that?
Can you catch any fish in this kind of heat, or is it shut down and it's not worth going, or is there an art to this?
Well, you got to pick your time. So the water temperature right now is running between 73 and 75 on Tonka, which means the bass are just the first group of spawning bass have come out of the shallows and have started working to that 14 to 16 foot range with steep breaks on big flats. And then you have the sunfish are starting to move up into spawn, so you can go up in the shallows and still catch plenty of sunnies. But the bass are kind of in the in-between zone, where they're starting to get real hungry, but some of them are going to stay shallow, some are going to go deep, but it gives you a little more variety of areas to go to try things. By the end of this heat, I got a feeling the bass will be going really hungry, especially the timing of how the spawn came about. So, you know, you still might have a few smallmouth up on the beds, but the crappies have moved out to that 16 to 22 feet of water range. Northern, same thing, deeper weed edges, dragon suckers. So there's plenty of fish to catch. It's more active in the morning and in the evenings compared to the hot times of the day. I kind of look at it as if you don't like it out, the fish don't like it out. Is a kind of good way to look at it.
Now, there's no use to throwing a topwater out?
Well, no, that's not true. Topwater on those certain flat, calm mornings, probably in the next couple of weeks, you're going to be able to go up into the lily pads, be throwing topwater. Chatterbaits seem to be working well right now. A lot of guys are drop-shotting. They're working those first breaks on the big flats. They're kind of staying that 11 to 20 feet of water range on the clear side of the lake, maybe 2 to 3 feet shallower on the dark side of the lake, which would be the west half of the lake.
Sure. Yeah. Now, what about walleye?
Walleye fishing in the dead heat really stinks. It's almost like it's the dog days of summer already. The water heats up so fast, those fish start suspending. They're chasing bait around, and to say they're on a set structure yet, they haven't moved out to the deep flats yet. They're in that in-between zone. It's just getting too hot too fast. And so, you know, it's more of a late evening into dark or first light in the morning. You're down to an hour if you can find them on that 26-foot deep weed edge, maybe 28 feet of water. But they really haven't migrated out to those deep rock piles yet or those deep mud flats yet. It's just a little too early for that. But with this type of heat this early in the year, it changes things. The weeds are growing 2 to 2.5 inches a day when it's sunny like this. The bottom is changing. You kind of have to adjust to what's going on. And when you get out there, you know, one day they'll be in 18 feet of water. The next day you'll show up and they've moved up to 16 feet. Those fish really aren't leaving yet. They're moving up and down with the water conditions.
Fishing guide Rory Nelson is our guest. He works Minnetonka and beyond. Last year at this time we were having this conversation about the biggest problem wasn't catching fish. The biggest problem was boat traffic because, you know, obviously boat sales went through the roof and people were gravitating to lakes quickly because of COVID. What does it feel like this year? The same?
It's pretty darn close to the same. There's a lot of people that still, you know, have plenty of time off, and they have boats, and they're getting out, and good for them. I mean, you have something coming up this Saturday on Lake Minnetonka that is huge. Probably the biggest tournament in the history of Lake Minnetonka. It's the High School Fishing League. There's going to be over 400 kids fishing that tournament.
Yep.
The DNR came along with a gentleman, I cannot remember his name for the life of me right now. He worked it out with some of the schools, some of the businesses. They're going to take the boats. They're not going to plug up the launches. But they're gonna, you're going to have over 400 kids doing a legit tournament. And that tournament filled up in under 7 minutes.
Whoa!
There was 7 minutes from registry, it was filled. That was 175 boats with another 50 waiting on the back end for anyone who would drop out. And because kids, you know, I got to say, the past 20 years, kids have kind of gone by the wayside of fishing with the invention of the video games, okay? This is one of the biggest things I've seen in fishing in my lifetime, is all of a sudden you have this barrage of kids that are out fishing on their own, tournament style. They're getting their friends into it. It's exponentially growing, and it isn't just Minnesota. This is nationwide. So this is some just absolutely fantastic things about getting kids back outside. Not every kid has a boat. You know, you find a teammate that's get a boat. The fathers that donate boats, donate times. The coaches don't get paid. It's usually in leagues. This is all by donation. This is some really, really cool stuff.
It is really cool stuff. And, you know, I just, you know, any time that a kid can do something that makes him feel like he's part of something and he belongs, you know, at that school. And that's why it's important that schools have affiliations with these things so that they feel like this is an extension of what they do in the school. That's huge. And I think that, you know, when they started this, the fishing teams, they thought, you know, okay, there'll be a mild interest in this, and there's a few fishermen in every school. I don't think anybody imagined that it would be like this.
It's, you know, I actually was offered a couple years ago. I ran the Wayzata High School fishing team. I'd happened to guide a couple of the kids when they were young, and they asked me, and I did it for a year. I brought a friend of mine in who happens to be a professional bass fisherman. He's Jim Linder's tournament partner, and I'm raising a 12-year-old boy. I got to coach his football. I didn't have time to do both, so I gave it up to Jason. And Jason, I mean, he has exponentially grown wise at his team. It's almost doubled every year, it seems like. He's doing a fantastic job. These kids are some dynamite fishermen, and it's Minnetonka. It's all these schools. You have teams of just two kids, always say Whip and War Road, that
sure.
are coming down.
Yep.
For the, you know, they're coming from everywhere, and just seeing the enthusiasm, the ability of these kids to take that responsibility, to get out there, put the dedication, the time in, and there are scholarships that they can get to go to college for this. So this is some fantastic stuff. I'm really glad I was a part of it for a very small time. I got to tell you, it's kind of cool.
And not everybody, I mean, the other piece of this, Rory, is there's guys that are good with a stick. We know that. They started when they were six. But you don't have to be. You can introduce yourself to fishing, and maybe it's the first time that somebody's ever taught you how to fish.
Oh, these kids are sponges. I know that they, I mean, I know Jason. I know him quite well. I know what he's teaching these kids. I know how many kids have made it in past years, how far some of the teams have come. Jason starts them. It doesn't matter where they're at. But by the time they are done with Jason, they are a full-fledged fisherman. He does it right. I mean, he is a straight-up teacher to these kids, and it's awesome to see.
Now, if these kids were going to say, hey, I'm going to pre-fish that lake a little bit because I want to win on Saturday, what would you tell them to do if they had never been on the lake and they're competing against people that have?
More structure on that body of water than any lake in the state. Do not be afraid to venture off and try anything. You have over 100 running miles of shoreline. There's 14,000 acres. That's more than, you know, what, 5 acres, 10 acres per kid, per team. There's more than enough water out there to find fish. That lake is, I say it all the time, it's the diamond of Minnesota. That thing produces unbelievable amounts of fish. right here in the Twin Cities. And, you know, get to your steep flats. Bigger the flat, the better. Find the good green edges. I'd say, you know, drop shot, keep it closer to the boat. You don't have to cover a ton of ground. And usually right now, if you find a pack, they're going to be there. They're not going to go far. So if you're pre-fishing and you find something, those fish don't go far. They're going to shift up 2 feet. They might go down 20 yards, but they're going to be in that general feeding vicinity. And then you have multicolored water in that lake. You have clear water.
You bet.
You have dirty water, and you have copper-stained water. So you can fish different ways. You know, the murkier water, you can maybe throw a little faster type presentation, something to cover a little more water, simply the vibration, color patterns. You know, you're getting a reactionary strike on that. Whereas when you're in the clear water, a slower, subtle approach, trying to make it as realistic as possible. I mean, checking your worms when you're setting, make sure they're floating right, make sure there's nothing that looks odd. When it's that clear, those fish can, they can tell when it's a fake bait. I mean, their eyesight is when they can see 30, 40 feet in the water, they can tell when you have a screw up on your plastic and you maybe not have the hook centered perfectly, or it's got a weird wobble to it. They won't touch it. They can tell.
Yeah, don't I know? but you know, given the heat index and all those things moving in, you're going to have to be pretty skilled to pull off a win in this one, aren't you?
No, I don't think so.
No?
That lake has too many, that,
you think it favors the lucky fishermen?
I don't think it's so much luck. I think it's going to be the kids who get out, can get some pre-time in. You know, if Saturday really does, after that rainstorm, here's the real kicker, okay? We haven't had rain for, what, 14 days, something like that?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, now you have 50% chance of rain come Friday.
Yep, get popped with that and work it up, yep.
That is going to change everything. So if that is the case, I'll tell all the kids now, if you have a whole bunch of water that comes in from a big rainstorm, okay, it's going to knock a bunch of bugs down. It's going to kick a bunch of worms out. Those fish are going to be shallow up feeding on whatever gets knocked in the water the day after the storm. Wherever you were fishing, plan on going a little shallower if there's big rain. The next thing I can tell them is if there's a big thunderstorm just coming in the morning, the fish are going to be scattered first thing in the morning. Plan on your afternoon having a more concise pattern where you'll find more fish together. It seems like when you have big thunder on Tonka, those fish scatter. They don't like that. So those are the two things I can tell them what they're going into Saturday. I know for a fact the drop shot has been key on the clear side. So good luck out there, kids, and have a blast.
Yeah, enjoy it. Hey, Rory, always good to talk to you, my friend. Appreciate it very much. Hope I can get out with you here soon.
You let me know when, I'll get you out.
Appreciate it, Rory. Keep up the great work.
Thank
Rory
you,
Nelson, one of the great guides in this entire metro area. You're the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.